I'm John. I'm Steve's youngest of four, his favorite. My sister was in the first service, but this time she can't argue with me. He called me up and told me that he was going to be in Michigan speaking at the Grace Gospel Fellowship Leadership Conference and asked me if I'd fill in. He's wrapping up Ephesians 3 and the inner man, and he's going to resume that next week. But today I wanted to talk about giving, the money kind of giving. Now, before you start throwing tomatoes or booing at me, understand that I'm not paid by Harvest. And Steve, he hates speaking about giving. He hates it because it's important to him that what he does is not about money. My income is not dependent on the generosity of the members of Harvest. And so I wanted to take this opportunity as a non-paid member to talk about giving. Now, if you're a visitor today, I'm really sorry that you chose this week to visit. You know, this is a topic we don't talk much about here. But, you know, I do believe that what I have to say will still be applicable to you if you have a desire to have a personal relationship with God. And then also, please know that I don't normally speak, so if I'm terrible, please come back. We have a good pastor here. Now, if you're like me, you're probably constantly getting hit up by people coming to your door trying to sell you cable subscriptions or fundraisers, magazines. Does anybody even read off paper anymore? And then you go out to your mailbox and you get a whole newspaper full of coupons and ads, people trying to get you to buy stuff. You get, you know, letters from organizations that want you to donate to them, and some of them are good organizations. And then, you know, later on you go and sit down for dinner with your family and the phone rings and some lady calls you up and wants to give you a free security system. I don't know about you, but I kind of get cynical about people asking me for money and donations, people trying to sell me stuff. And I think, unfortunately, sometimes we come to church and the church passes the offering bag, and it's kind of hard not to lump the church in with all the rest of those people that are just trying to squeeze a buck out of us. Today I want to talk about giving from a different perspective, not as a duty, and not just to another organization that needs to keep their lights on. I want to talk about giving money to God. And I want to focus on giving as a way of connecting with God on a personal level. Now, there are many aspects of giving and money in the Bible, and I could talk for hours on it, but I want to focus on five aspects that I feel are very unique and important. Now, the first of those five is giving as an act of worship. Now, I just want to warn you that I'm going to be jumping around a bit in the scripture, so I'll have all the verses up on the slides so you don't have to try to flip back and forth and keep up. I'm going to start in Psalm 96. In verse 8 and 9, we see giving being tied to worship. Give to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. O worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth. And then again in Matthew chapter 2, just after Christ was born, the wise men had come and they were visiting Mary. And in verse 11 it says, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. You know, the very next thing they did was they gave Christ their treasure. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their worshiping Christ included giving to him. I looked up the definition of worship, just in the English definition, and it's the feeling or expression of extreme respect and adoration for a deity. You know, it got me thinking, if I took the word deity out of that definition, my feelings towards my wife are really not a lot different there. And so I started thinking, you know, what if while I was on a date, before we got married, I took her to dinner, and we ate, and the check came, and I pulled out my phone, calculated half the bill, And they told her, okay, your half is this much, and oh, and don't forget to tip. I see a few guilty faces out there. No, but seriously, would that reflect adoration for her? Would it lead to a next date? Would she find that pleasing? You know, I think it'd probably ruin the date for her. I think she'd probably be thinking, this guy doesn't like me. Our money is tied to what we worship. In Luke 12:35, it says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. Now, it's interesting to me how true this verse is. I decided to go digging through my credit card statement because I wanted to see where my heart is. And so I separate, you know, the statement separates my wife's and my card. And so I was looking through mine, and the most recurring expense that I had was for Anthony's Pizza. I love Anthony's Pizza. In fact, I just love pizza all around. I'm kind of like a kid, you know, when you ask him, what's your favorite food? I'm like, pizza. I even embarrass my wife when we go to a nice restaurants because, you know, she'll order some fancy dish and I won't even know what half the stuff is on the dish, let alone can I pronounce it. And then, you know, they'll come to me and I'll be like, can I just get a personal pepperoni pizza? I try to convince her I'm kind of like a wine snob, except not wine, pepperoni, you know, pizza snob. She doesn't buy it. Quite honestly, it's shameful. But when I looked at that statement, my money showed me where my heart is. It's evident to me that I love pizza, according to my expenses. And where we spend our money is where our heart is. The Apostle Paul did a lot of traveling in his day, and the Philippians were the only church that gave to him during his travels. And so he wrote to them in Philippians 4:18, and he said, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. Giving should be an act of worship that is pleasing to God. I think we need to remember how important that is. The next aspect I want to talk about is giving as a sacrifice. In Mark chapter 12, Jesus positions himself at the temple where he can see the people giving to the treasury, and he's watching as you know these rich guys are coming in and filling up the treasury, and then this poor widow comes up to the treasury. And in verse 42 it says, then one poor widow came and threw in 2 mites, which make a quadrants. Now a mite is just like a small copper coin, you know, it's like worth like fractions of a penny. It really had no bearing on the overall amount of the treasury. So Jesus calls over his disciples and says, assuredly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. For they all put in out of their abundance, but she out of her poverty put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Christ was not impressed with the rich people filling up the treasury. He was impressed with the poor widow. She had nothing, but she was willing to give sacrificially. In Matthew 19, we see another example of giving sacrificially when there's this rich man who, you know, comes to Christ and asks him how he can get eternal life, and Christ responds, and he's like, you know, don't murder, don't commit adultery, don't steal, don't lie, honor your mother and father, love your neighbor. So the rich man responds and says, well, I've done all that, but what am I lacking? Christ says, go give everything you have to the poor and come and follow me. Now, a couple years ago, my wife and I were pregnant with our third child, Anya. And at the 20-week ultrasound, they found a rare condition. It's called a diaphragmatic hernia. And with this condition, what it meant is that if she survived, and she did, thankfully, we were going to have to spend at least the first 3 weeks at minimum in the NICU, which is kind of like the ICU for babies. Now, at that time, we were on a tight budget. We didn't have much money. Lindsay was staying at home with the kids because that was important to us. And so we were sharing a single income. And after finding out of this condition, our family and close friends decided to throw her a surprise baby shower. And rather than giving traditional baby shower gifts, everybody gave us cards with money in it. They gave us the money so that we'd have money for gas and food while we were pretty much living at the hospital. And so after this shower, we were going through our checks and our cards, and we were just overwhelmed with how generous everyone was. We couldn't believe it. But there was one particular check that we came across, and it was from a couple that we knew were struggling financially even more than we were, quite a bit more at the time. And they gave a gift to us that was probably five times what we would have expected anyone to give in that type of a scenario. Now, it wasn't the biggest gift, but the thing about it is that we knew that they probably couldn't afford it. We even kind of debated giving it back. It was hard to accept. We were not where we were struggling at the time, but compared to them, we weren't. And so it was very humbling to us that somebody was willing to give to us what they didn't even have. And we were by no means poor. But they gave like Christ told that rich man. God wants us to give to him the same way that couple gave to us. Now, the third aspect of giving I want to talk about is giving cheerfully. 2 Corinthians 9:7, it says, "So let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver." God wants us to enjoy giving. You know, right out of high school, I got a part-time job with the district attorney's office in their IT department. And at the time, it didn't pay very much. It wasn't very many hours. It was, low pay. And then after a little while working there, they wanted to promote me to full-time because they didn't want me to go somewhere else. And so when they moved me to full-time, my hours doubled, my pay rate doubled, it nearly tripled my income. And then on top of that, I was living at home, I was skimming off, free rent off of my parents, I was eating their food, I had no bills, I was making bank. And then Christmas came around. Now, normally, I had to scrounge for just a little gift for my family, and this year, I was feeling like I was loaded, and so I had this opportunity to buy big gifts, and I'll never forget this one gift that I bought. It was a very expensive espresso machine for my father. Now, this espresso machine is Ronchillo in brand. It's made in Italy, and it's kind of like the Rolex of watches. It's stainless steel, has like the big professional head. And if you know my dad, he loves his Starbucks. In fact, he was buying it years before they came to Denver. His wife, his sister would mail him coffee through the mail from them. And so every morning he'd make a latte with his little piece of junk latte machine. And I'll tell you what, never in my life was I so excited to spend so much money on a gift for somebody. And when my dad opened it, he was really excited. I mean, it was very pleasing to him. He even told me that he'd never received such a large gift like that before. It brought me so much joy to give him that expensive gift. God wants us to enjoy giving to him. He wants us to give cheerfully, the way that I felt giving my dad that expensive latte machine. Now, the fourth aspect I want to talk about is giving faithfully. God wants us to be faithful in our giving, not just occasionally being generous. In 1 Corinthians 16, Paul writes to the church in Corinth. In verse 1, he tells them, "Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given orders to the churches of Galatia, so you must do so. On the first day of the week, let each one of you lay something aside, storing up as he may prosper, that there be no collections when I come." Now, I find this interesting that Paul gives orders to them to do so. It doesn't seem characteristic of Paul. But he's telling them to give, to take a weekly collection. So this whole idea of passing the bag or passing the plate in church, it started with the early church. In 2 Corinthians 9:7, that we looked at earlier, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart. Now, that word purposes is also could be defined as propose, like when a man proposes to a woman, he makes a commitment to her. And I think God wants us to make a commitment in our heart to give to him faithfully. Solomon is the wisest man ever, and he also tells us to give faithfully. In Proverbs 3:9, it says, honor the Lord with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. Now, I think sometimes God gives us guidelines, and we have to remember that God knows what's best for us when they don't really make sense. And I believe that if we're not giving faithfully on a regular basis, we're only hurting ourselves. Years ago, I did some reading on, becoming wealthy, and I listened to some audiobooks, and it really changed my view on money. And two of the books that I listened to were Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. The other one was Richest Man in Babylon by George Clausen. And then also here at Harvest, there's a Financial Peace University program that's put together by Dave Ramsey. And if money is a real issue in your life, I highly recommend you take this program. But out of all of these books that I read and that I listened to in this Financial Peace program, there's a recurring theme in all of them, between even the Christian and the secular. All of them tell you to give a percent of your income to charity. There's something that wealthy people understand, a foundational component to money, and that is to give it away faithfully. Now, to me, it feels backwards. How do I gain from giving? God tells us to do it. Paul tells us to do it. Solomon tells us to do it. Robert Kiyosaki, George Clausen, Dave Ramsey, they all tell us to give faithfully. I think there is more to giving faithfully than just the faithfulness of it. I think it teaches us how to view money and how to let it go and make it a little less important in our lives. I've heard people say, well, I don't have much money, so I give my time instead. Sounds like that makes sense, right? You know, we've heard the saying, time equals money. But if you're convinced that that's true, let me ask you this question. How many people come to your door asking for your time? Truth is, God wants us to let go of our money. We're all too busy. We already know how to let go of our money or our time. But giving faithfully is not so easy. Now, the fifth and final aspect of giving that I want to talk about are the rewards or the blessings of givings. Now, this is kind of a more controversial topic because we have preachers on TV that will tell you, send us some money and God will make you rich. There's an episode of the show Two and a Half Men. There's a scene with where the boy's talking to the dad about Reverend Don the televangelist. And the kid says, you know what? If I send Reverend Don money, God will make me rich. The dad responds and asks, did you send him money? And the kid says, well, wouldn't you? Later in the show, the kid sneezes and there's an elderly woman there, and she says, God bless you. And the kid pipes back and says, he better. I sent him $5. We don't want to hear preachers or televangelists tell us that if we send them money, that God will make us rich. Because it's not true. And we know it's not true. The problem with that concept is that we're not giving our money to God. It's just a high-risk form of gambling where the odds just are not in your favor. I believe that if we give to God, he will bless us. But if we give for profit, he will not. If we go back to Philippians 4:18, when we were looking at giving as worship, It says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied. Now that I have received from Epaphroditus the gifts you sent, they are a fragrant offering and acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And in verse 19 it says, and my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And then if we go back to Matthew 19, when we were talking about giving with sacrifice, when Christ was talking to the rich man, it says in verse 21, Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go, sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And then in 2 Corinthians 9, when we were going over giving cheerfully, it says, so let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And then in verse 8, it says, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you, always having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. And then finally, when we look at Proverbs 3:9 about giving faithfully, it says, honor the Lord God with your possessions and with the first fruits of all your increase. And then in verse 10, it says, so your barns will be filled with plenty and your vats will overflow with wine. God blesses those who give to him. Now, I'm not going to stand here and say that if you give money to God that he will bless you with more money. But however, the scriptures are clear. God wants to use us to fuel his ministries. He will bless us both financially and spiritually so that we can give to him, not so we can fill up our bank account, not to bless us to be rich. He will give us an abundance for every good work. Today, I'd like to challenge you to give through worship, or to give through sacrifice, and to give cheerfully and faithfully, and reap the blessings that God will pour out on you. I want to challenge you to give to God, not out of guilt, but cheerfully. Now, at Harvest, we have many different ways that you can give to God, not just through the general offering. We have a benevolent fund where we buy cards for those that are in need of food, gift cards. We have a food drive where you can bring in food, you know, canned foods and stuff, and put them up by the front door and they'll pick it up. The youth group this time of year will start fundraising for summer camp. Tom Kriska is heading up the development of the East Courtyard over here. We're going to be needing resources, grass and trees for that. Glenn Morrison is starting up a new missions program. Now, if you're a visitor or you're feeling like this message is just a way to get you to open your wallet to Harvest, or you're just not sure that you want to give to Harvest, there are many other great ministries that God is working through that you can give to. Helping Hands International Ministries, Open Arms Pregnancy Center, the Salvation Army, the Denver Rescue Mission, Compassion International, and many more. But remember, if you can't give cheerfully, don't give. Otherwise, it's all for nothing. Giving is not a requirement. God will bless us if we give cheerfully. Who doesn't want to be blessed by God? Money will not be our master when giving through worship. Money will not be required to fulfill our discontent if we give through sacrifice. Money will not be wanted for happiness if we give cheerfully. And money will not be needed for security if we give faithfully. And the reward will make us wealthy. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would help us to let go of our money and to use it for whatever it is you desire. And I pray that you would bless us so that we can fuel your ministries and faithfully give back to you. And I pray that our giving can be a fragrant offering to you and pleasing to you. And I ask that you would give us the courage to give to you and sacrifice. I pray these things in your name.